Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he."
I wouldn't mind if you'd go ahead and play that special number for us. Could you do that, Loretta? And then I'll preach after that. She practices and she does such lovely music. Let's just enjoy this before I preach this morning. Loretta, you do a beautiful job, and we're grateful for that. Very grateful. It's not very often that we meet on Sunday, December 25th. In the Protestant church, many of our churches will have Christmas Eve services, and then people go and celebrate Christmas Day with their family, and we don't meet. But it is Sunday, and when it's Sunday, we meet. And so we wanted to meet this morning and celebrate this greatest gift ever given. You know, we oftentimes, when we talk about the Messiah, we just say Jesus, don't we? In the world we live in today, it's Jesus Christ. That's the name that was given to the Messiah. That was the name that was given to Joseph and Mary. His name will be called Jesus, Messiah. To a religious Jew, they always were looking for a Messiah. a Messiah to be revealed. And for many of the religious Jews, they still look for a Messiah to be revealed. Some have recognized that the Messiah came, Jesus, who we call Jesus, but some still think there is a Messiah to come. You see, there's a difficulty with this one that came. He didn't seem to fit quite the picture that many were picturing when they thought about a Messiah. Even though the picture is painted pretty clearly in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah alone pretty clearly paints the picture of not just a royal king, but a suffering servant. And yet, much of that just seems to fly right by some who still look for a Messiah that fits the picture that they envision from the scriptures that they recite. Messiah. This word is somewhat synonymous with other words like deliverer. 9 times deliverer is used in the Old Testament to in addition to Messiah. Savior is another word that is used 55 times. Anointed One is another one that's used 4 different times. These words all describe in a way what Messiah means. Deliverer, Savior, Anointed One. You know, everyone's looking for a Messiah. I think that's why so many of these movies are so popular, at least amongst more of the young people, maybe, but it is even with me. Superman, Batman. You remember Wonder Woman many years ago? In fact, wasn't there a Wonder Woman not too many years ago? Kind of a redo of that. Captain Marvel. Yeah, some of you. You know, we say we go with the kids, but sometimes we go even without the kids to see some of these, don't we? Everyone's looking for a Messiah, a Savior, someone who can deliver, someone who will take care of the evil in the world and bring about good, and that's what all these people were supposed to do. Superman, you know, he'd come to the rescue whenever someone needed rescue. All of these characters, or even people in real life that are considered in some way, shape, or form a Savior, a Messiah. The issue with all of these, including those that are on the big screen, who are fictional anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't want to blow anyone's bubble here. They all die. Maybe not on the screen, but they all die. Except one. Right? Except one. You know, some of the world religions with people like Muhammad. He died. There is, I believe, a burial site for him. There was one for Jesus, but death couldn't hold it. There was the empty tomb. You see, everyone's looking for a Messiah, but what good can a dead Messiah do for us? Not much at all, really. But the one that we worship, the one who came at Christmas, the one who died on Good Friday and rose again on Easter, he is a Messiah whose word means something because he's alive. He conquered death. All these other religions or all these other messiahs, ultimately, once they died, we were left to our own. And every other religion in the world, really, if you think about it, every other religion in the world, even if you know just a little bit about it, ultimately, you and I are left to our own when it comes to getting there, wherever there is, salvation, heaven, nirvana, whatever it is. We're left to our own. Got to be good enough. Got to do all the right things. Got to go through the right hoops, all these kinds of things. But there's only one. There's only one where, for one, he died and he's alive forevermore. And number two, He doesn't put the onus on us. He put the onus on Himself. Jesus took care of the problem. A problem that you and I couldn't take care of. He took care of our sin. You see, this Samaritan woman that we read about here this morning, I had a sermon on this not too long ago about the Samaritan woman. But here she is, this Samaritan woman, and she admits that she has been looking for a Messiah. Now, she was a Samaritan, a half-Jew, not really liked by the Jews. They were like, the other side of the tracks. They were not appreciated. They were looked at as kind of the enemy to some degree. And here she was. And as she's talking with Jesus, not really knowing who Jesus is, even after Jesus explains Himself, she's still not sure, but she sees something really special in this one who is there. She says that they were looking for a Messiah. Maybe not the Messiah, but they were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a Messiah, and they had not found this Messiah yet. Jesus is trying to subtly tell her He's it. She is hung up with worshiping on this mountain as opposed to another mountain. And which one do you worship on? Who's the true follower of God? And Jesus says, that really isn't important. We worship the Father. And if so, then we also worship the Son, Jesus Christ. And He says in the text here, it's not so much about where, really, but it is God who is worshipped in spirit and in truth. That's what He says in the gospel lesson here. You Samaritans worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The gospel of John, the 4th chapter. This relationship wasn't a mechanical one. It was a relationship one. It's not mechanical, but it was about a relationship between this Messiah and the people who would worship this Messiah. When you think about it, even when the woman who came to the well, who was a messed up lady, she'd been married 4 times. And the one she was with at the time was not, she was not married to. Jesus knew this. He never divulged that to him. He says to her what he knew. She knew at that point there was something special about this one who'd come. He knew, he knows me. He knows who I am. He knows what I've done. And yet he's still conversing with me. He still seems to care about me. He still wants to tell me something here. What he really wanted to tell her is, I'm the Messiah, and you can have a relationship with me. You can worship me in spirit and in truth, and there'll be a time when I won't be here anymore physically, but I'll send my spirit to be with you forever and ever. This Samaritan woman was relating with the very Messiah that she was looking for, and it took her a while before she finally realized, I may have found Him. And then she goes back and tells others about this one she had found who knew her before she said anything. You know, it's funny how you and I live our lives sometimes, isn't it? We think, well, we can hide things from our spouse. You know, we can... I figured it would be your phone to hear that sort of thing. But yet here we are. God knows what we do, and we think we can hide it from Him. How many of you have you lived your life sometimes thinking, well, I hope God doesn't know about this? Guess what, folks? God knew it before you were thinking it. And God knew it while you were thinking it. The Holy Spirit hopefully was nudging on your shoulder before you even did it. But He knows. And yet He doesn't walk away like Jesus could have from the Samaritan woman. I'm only going to deal with people who are kind of holy.
so I don't want to deal with you. He didn't do that with her, did he? If you look all throughout the whole New Testament, you find the people that Jesus spent a lot of time with were the people who were all messed up. And yet, he walked with them and he talked with them and he encouraged them. That's the Messiah who came. Why do we look for a Messiah? Because I think deep down all of us know we need saved. I think deep down we all know we need to be delivered. I think deep down we all know that we are desperate. Deep down we know that whatever it is that we have just in this sphere of life on this earth doesn't give us the meaning we really want. We need something more. We need a Savior. We need a Messiah. We need a Deliverer. And I think innate in every human being, there's the desire for that. Unfortunately, there are some that have so hardened their hearts that they don't recognize that which is right before them. But I still think in their hearts they know they need a Savior. And they look in all the wrong places to try to find it. Why are all these characters on TV that seem to be larger than life, and why do we like watching them? Because we want to see a Savior. We want to see someone who will deliver. We want to see someone that will fix all the evil that's going on. And so you got some Superman out there who's going to take care of all that crap. Or Batman, or Wonder Woman, or whoever it might be, Captain Marvel, or someone that'll do that sort of thing. There is someone who's larger than life as we know it, who has already taken care of the problem. We're still in a battle that's going to be won. And there's some little battles along the way that may be lost, but the war is won. And we know that right now, right from the get-go. Just like the Lions lost yesterday. But if this was a game of life here, and we were in the fourth quarter and behind by many points like they were, I can know in Christ that the end, I will be victorious. But it may look like I'm losing right now. And I want you to be encouraged by that, because sometimes you feel like you're losing. And that battle might be lost. You might be the third quarter skunk. And the fourth quarter doesn't look too hot right now either. But by the time the last bell rings, God won. And because He's my heavenly daddy, I win too. And so do you when you put your faith and trust in Him. I believe we're all wired to want a Savior. We're all wired to know that we needed a Savior. And praise God, many have admitted that and given their life to the one who says, "I am the Savior." Not a Savior, but the Savior, Jesus Christ. Because I think innately, all of us realize we're in some kind of trouble without Him. I think the devil's out there, and I want to close with this, the devil's out there making us think that we can save ourselves. You don't need Jesus. You don't need the church. You don't need the Bible. The power is within. The problem with that statement is you and I are fallen creatures. And if the power is within, I can be absolutely sure you and I are going to mess up. Because the power is not within. Not within ourselves. Now it is within us as we ask Jesus to reside in our hearts. Then yes, it is within us because He's within us. And we have victory. The power within without Christ will not save us. The power of technology will not save us. Some people keep looking for the answer that can stop aging. Folks, sins, the wages of sin is death. And death comes. You'll never be able to stop it. The only thing that will stop it is Christ's return. So if he chooses to come back while you and I are still alive, hot diggity dog, we get to escape that. But if not, death comes. The power of technology can't change that. Might be able to help, might give us a few more years of life, but it'll never stop death. The power of the government can't save us either. And sometimes you and I put so much stock in the government. And we just put the right people in place and they'll solve everything. Well, it could be putting the right people in place will certainly help. But God's the answer, ultimately. God is the answer, ultimately. So I want to encourage you with this morning. The Messiah is Jesus Christ. All of us need saved. You can't do it yourself. You can only do it through Him. He has come, and you and I need Him. And many of us here, I'm speaking to the choir, you already know that. You've already received Him. But I think it's good for us to be reminded from time to time how much I do really need Him. Because sometimes I'm not relying on Him as much as I should. I'm trying to do it myself again. And when I do that, I get all messed up. I want to rely on Him because He's the answer. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. God, thank You. Thank You for this day that we can come together to worship You and praise You in a unique way because it's this time of year when we celebrate You came to earth in human flesh as a little babe in Bethlehem. Not as a royal baby in Jerusalem, but in a little podunk town of Bethlehem. Why did You come that way? That was not the grand entrance that we would have envisioned for You. God, I believe it's so that You could show the whole world You came for the whole world. You came that anyone and everyone could have access to You. But still, we have to say yes to the gift. We have to receive it and open that gift. And yet there are many in the world that today that have might have even touched the gift. They might have even held on to the gift, but they haven't unwrapped the gift, received the gift into their heart. The gift of Jesus. The gift of the forgiveness of sins. The gift of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The gift of the presence of the Holy Spirit forever within us, guiding us and directing us. God, that gift, I pray, is received by many on this day and every day moving forward. And we give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.